Well, it's always an honor to be up here speaking and sharing. As Bill mentioned, in 5 months, Courtney and I, along with Hope and Adam, are going to be leading 18 high schoolers to Costa Rica for a week. I wanted to give a stop and give a quick shout out to Lori Munsell. She is behind the scenes handling all the incoming donations and funds, and it doesn't just go into an account and file away easily. So, Lori, I know you're working hard for us. Appreciate it. So, we're going to be joining up with Jamie Johnson and Boy with the Ball. Boy with the Ball focuses on building relationships and building leaders through mentorship in neighborhoods to transform communities. All the money from the barbecue today will be supporting that trip. And when I was preparing to speak, I had a few topics floating around. Some obvious ones: missions, youth, mercy. I landed on this title: How Hot Dogs Help Change the World. No, that's not actually the title. I actually decided to give you all a sneak peek of the topics we're going to be going through with the high schoolers in the months leading up to our trip. Part of the Boy with the Ball short-term mission trip criteria is that every month we're going to be covering a topic as we prepare for the trip, prepare our hearts. The main idea, really, of this process is we want our youth to have ownership of their faith. This isn't just a fun trip, but we're going to give and to receive. And so every month we'll be going through a topic and watching a video and having discussion to get our hearts ready. So today we have one, and we have five or four more after this as we lead up. And there will be follow-up when we get back as well. The idea is not just to go on a missions trip and leave it there, but take what we feel God has given us and bring it back to our community, to our city. Do you guys love your city? Yeah? So as I was preparing, I found that I had a lot of texts. So I'm going to be reading more than I would like. I didn't want to leave anything out, so I said, don't be judgy about me reading. You can bring up the first slide, Peter. So this first slide, here are the five topics we're going to be covering today. Hearing God's voice, living moment to moment with God, embracing a life of faith through faith and pain, finding and fulfilling God's purpose for your life, learning to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So these topics we can all relate to. As we're going through with the high schoolers, I know that God's speaking to me too. So first, you can go to the next slide. First topic here is hearing God's voice. So I want to talk about Elijah today. I don't know, when's the last time you guys read Elijah? 1 Kings 17 through 2 Kings 2 or something like that. It's an amazing story. When you have time, read it. Read it this week. It's crazy the stuff Elijah does. It's a story of provision, faith, boldness, miracles, direction, to name a few. So I'm going to summarize 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19 through today's message. 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah just comes onto the scene. There's no backstory about his family or where he comes or what he's done up until this point. He just enters into the scene and tells King Ahab, he declares that there's going to be a drought for a few years until I stay. And just that's how he starts. He just comes in and tells King Ahab, there's going to be a drought until I give my word. So then the Lord starts speaking to Elijah. First, he tells him to go down to a river and drink from a brook, and he will have ravens bring him meat morning and night. Okay, that's the second intro to him. Ravens, and that happens. He goes down to the brook, and ravens just bring him meat, just dropping steaks at his lap. Then the Lord speaks to him again, and he sends him to a widow's house. He asks her to make him some food. The widow doesn't have any bread, only a little oil and flour. He says, trust me, it'll do. She's able to feed Elijah. Then her son dies upstairs. So Elijah goes upstairs, prays over him, and he comes back to life. That's the first chapter we know about Elijah. Over and over in this chapter, it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, and so Elijah did. Every time the Lord speaks to Elijah, it's followed by an action. So when God speaks to us, we have a responsibility to do something with that. Hebrews says, he that has an ear, let him hear. For whatever reason, this hit me, that hearing is a verb. I don't know if that hits anybody else, but for me, I was like, hearing's a verb. What does that mean? There's some action involved. It's sort of like breathing. We don't think to breathe throughout the day, but breathing is an action. I remember as a kid playing at the park, De Pertola Elementary, and on the monkey bars, and I fell and knocked the wind out of my lungs. If you've ever had that experience, you remember the panic to get air back into your lungs. You're not always thinking about that, but you're thinking about that in moments like that. We don't always try to hear most of the time, but maybe we should. The book of Job says, "For God speaks again and again, but the people don't recognize it." After the marriage retreat this year, Courtney and I went to her sister's house who lives in Temecula to get our kids and watch some of the Super Bowl. We left at halftime, and we're driving home and trying to listen to the second half of the game. But the channels are fuzzy. I'm not familiar with the... I figured the sports stations would be the same, the ones that around here, but there was a fuzzy channel. And I'm really listening. I'm really trying to hear through the static. I'm messing with the dial. I'm telling the kids to be quiet, politely. I mean, I'm telling you guys, I'm actively listening, trying to hear what's going on. I'm not just sitting back listening. I'm really listening. Finally, it clears up, and I switch to decaf. We all have a lot going on. So how do we hear God through the static? How do we block out all the noise to be available to hear God's voice? Hebrews says, "The word of the Lord is alive and living. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I just said five ways that I hear from God. So one is his word. It's alive and living. Two, prayer. Three, through others, other believers. Sometimes I hear God through non-believers. Worship and God's creation. If you've ever been somewhere that's just so beautiful, it just cries out to the goodness of God. So just a note here. How can we walk with a God we cannot hear? How can we walk with a God we cannot hear? He's our navigational system. He's our guide. However, hearing is a muscle that needs to be worked out. Anybody in here besides Cooper been in a language immersion program? Just you, man. So why do language immersion programs work? They work because a person's learning a new language and is forced to listen intently because they're trying to learn the language. The same is true with God. We must first hear before we can speak, before we can do. We can see how Elijah heard God's voice and how it guided him. Now let's talk about the second topic of living moment to moment with him. Go to the next slide. There's no added points to these. They're just cool pictures with the titles. So Elijah clearly lived moment to moment with God. He was always available. So now we're in 1 Kings 18. So sometime after the widow made Elijah what I call miracle bread, and her son died and then brought back to life, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again and told him to go back to King Ahab and let him know it's going to rain. So at this time, Elijah's just disgusted with Israel. They're worshiping and serving Baal, in large part to Queen Jezebel. Verse 18, 21, he shows up. Elijah here comes back to his people. And he says, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is your God, follow him. If Baal is your God, follow him.' And the people did not say a word." He's just calling them out. You're calling them out on lukewarm living. We've all been here in that lukewarm living. So what's Elijah's response to this? He picks a faith fight, as I like to call it, with this people. He says, "Okay, I got an idea. Let's build two altars. You call out your God Baal, and I'll call out my God to my Lord. The first altar to catch fire from heaven is the real God." In verse 24, it says, this is funny to me. In verse 24, it says, "Then all the people said, okay, sounds good." It's like, these are just like, neither of them, they didn't respond when he said, take a stand, and they didn't, and then they're like, that sounds good. Yeah, let's have a faith fight. So long story short, I'm going to wrap this up. You guys remember this story, but Ahab's people worship and pray out to Baal. Elijah starts talking trash. That's how confident he is in this moment. He's just, yeah, let's have this duel, faith duel. Then he starts talking trash as they're praying. He says, hey, maybe you should shout louder. Maybe Baal's asleep. I'm just picturing him just like so much swagger dripping off of him. Don't you see that? Just like, hey, just talk louder. Right after, got ahead of myself. So he's talking trash. Maybe he's sleeping. Nothing happens. They start cutting themselves with swords and frantically praying morning to evening. Nothing happens. Then Elijah calls them all over. Like, they're all bloody from their swords. Like, come on, come over here, guys. He's like, you know what? Why don't we soak my altar with water? Let's just, this is more just trash talk. Like, this guy is confident. Let's soak it with water. And then he calls out to the Lord. Elijah wins. Fire comes and burns up the altar, and the flames licked the water dry, and some people started praising the Lord. He is our God. Lord, he is our God. And those that did not, they were slaughtered. Right after this, Elijah climbs up a hill and sends his servant out looking for a cloud. He reports he sees one size of a man's hand. Then the skies grow black and the heavy rain begin. Verse 45 says, Elijah jumped up, tucked his cloak in his belt, and ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I just like that verse. Just him starts to rain, and he's like, that's the sign I was looking for. He jumps in and tucks his shirt into his belt and just runs. He was living in the moment. He was constantly available. The other day, I went for a run, and I'm about 12 miles in, and my battery dies. No, I was about a half mile in. I had a good podcast going, and my battery died. I need a new phone, okay? It just dies at like 60%. I don't know if you guys have that problem. So anyways, then I'm just running with my thoughts, and I feel awkward because I don't have any input. I'm like, no, it's too quiet. It's just me and my thoughts. I felt like I heard God say, just turn off all your stuff. Turn off all your stuff. Get time with me. You know how simple that is? And we've got so much stuff coming in, social media, advertising, all this stuff. Maybe this isn't just for me. Turn off all your stuff and get time with him. Be available. I thought this was interesting. Available, by definition, is able to be used or obtained, not otherwise occupied, free to do something. I want to be available. The start of the year, we do like family goals and stuff, and one of my prayers to God was like, I'm available for whatever you have for me. I like my job, I like my city, but I'm just available for whatever you have for me. That's kind of a scary prayer for some of us, I think, just to say, I'm open. I want to do something for you. If it's here, great. Have you ever asked someone how they're doing? They're like, I've just been really busy. What does that tell you? I have like zero time to even answer that question, let alone tell you how I'm doing. So be available. God may take you on some awesome adventures. He also might take you through some rough waters as well. Now let's talk about living a life of faith and pain, embracing a life of faith and pain. Next slide. So we're back to Elijah, chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab goes right back, and the first thing he does is he tells Jezebel, his wife, everything that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow you do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid. He ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around. There by his head are some bread baked over hot coals, a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, he ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. How does Elijah go from this swagger-dripping, trash-talking, fire-breathing heaven to a guy that just gives up? He's running in fear. "Just take my life, Lord. He's had enough." How does that happen? That just tells me Elijah is not like a superhero. He's a person. And he was afraid. When we live a life with God, we'll encounter pain, different kinds. It's unavoidable. But God's mercy is good. Tied in mercy there. He always provides. He always provides. He will always sustain you. Some of us are in situations or have circumstances where we just want to give up. You guys want to give up on certain situations? There's things, the relationships, where we just want to give up. In his moment of fear and worry, God gave Elijah rest. He provided sustenance. He encouraged him, "Get up and go. The journey is too long." Whoever this is for, specifically this, whatever the issue is that you feel like you want to give up on, if it's fear, worry, heartache, longing, bad decisions, disappointment, family issues, whatever the issue is, don't give up. Please, don't give up. God has an angel waiting to encourage you. Rest in God. Speak to him. Listen. He wants you to lean into him. Press on. Push through. Your journey is much too long to stop now. So don't give up. I was going to share a quick story about a butterfly. Easy transition. So some of you have probably heard this analogy, but what do butterflies start out as? Caterpillars. Good job. And then what happens? They climb up onto a tree or a branch, and they form a, not a cocoon, a chrysalis. You guys are doing great. And then over time, they break through and they fly away. But did you know that if you took like a small razor and slit the chrysalis open to help that butterfly get out sooner, it would just fall to the ground and die? Because it doesn't have strength to fly. The butterfly actually needs time in that chrysalis, strengthening as its muscles, as it's pushing, as it's trying to break through, as it's struggling in this tight space, and then finally it breaks through and it flies away. Just said, our struggles, they have a purpose. We might not see it. We have struggles, right? But we're building muscles that we wouldn't have otherwise. He just said, hashtag nothing wasted. Suze Jones made a powerful statement a few weeks ago. She said that God doesn't always quiet the storm around you, but he'll quiet the storm within you. That might be the prayer you need to fight for, not give up on, that he quiets the storm within you. In life, or in living a life of faith, we will encounter pain. We can see through Elijah that God will use our pain to encourage us, calm us, sustain us, even comfort us, even turn our pain into a calling. Really, to grow closer to him. As we grow closer to him, we can start to learn more about our purpose, which is the next topic, fulfilling God's purpose for your life. So now we're on chapter 19. Where's Elijah right now? Does anybody remember? He ran off. He's in a cave. He's hiding in a cave. The angel of the Lord just poked him and fed him. It sounds like really nice too. Hot biscuits from an angel. And then sent him off, and he goes for 40 days, and then he hides in a cave. And it says, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put a prophet to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and they're going to try to kill me. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. That's that still, small voice. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, David? Insert your name there. What are you doing here? I just thought it was interesting. I've read this story before, but there's lots of loud noises in our life, earthquakes and fires. But God's voice cuts, like that small, still voice cuts through all of that. He doesn't need to be the loudest person in the room. And there's a gentleness in that, isn't there? But that's a really confrontational question. What are you doing here, Elijah? How would you answer that question from God? What are you doing here? I think your answer to that question matters. So 2 weeks ago, Matt shared, by the way, back-to-back great weeks from Matt and John. He said, don't worry so much about the why, pay attention to the what. I agree with this, but I want to flip the script a little bit. So I'm going to play a quick video for you guys, and then I'll come back.
How do I know? A lot of people, when they think of the phrase, how do I know, they always want to put the what behind it. How do I know what I'm supposed to do? The question that you really should ask is, how do I know why I'm here? Because when you know your why, your what becomes more clear and more impactful. If you know, like for instance, people know that I do comedy, but that's what I do. My why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. So I can do comedy, I can write books, I can be in a movie, because all of it is motivated by my why. In fact, I have a new web series out called Michael Jr. Break Time. We probably just did the 6th episode. It's on YouTube. So every single Wednesday at 3:00, we drop a new episode on YouTube of Michael Jr. Break Time. What it is it's me. I travel around the country and I do stand-up comedy, in case you didn't know. And in the middle of my comedy set sometime, I'll stop and just talk to my audience. And we've been filming this, and it's pretty cool. So we're in Winston-Salem. I'm going to show you a clip from Winston-Salem. And I'm just talking to this guy in the audience, and he tells me that he's a musical instructor at a school. So I was like, all right, you're a musical instructor. You know, can you sing? Let me hear you sing a song. So this is what happened at the last episode of Michael Jr.'s Break Time. Check it. So you're a musical director?
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
That bro could sing, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about, just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a like me.
Here's what I want you to catch. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards or in your purpose.
So I was at a recent professional development training, and they showed this video for teachers, and I was like, my church friends are gonna love this. So if you know your why, I don't know if you caught this, if you know your why, your what becomes more impactful because you're walking towards your purpose. God has designed you for a purpose. I'm a teacher. That's what I do. The reason why I teach is because I love seeing breakthrough, big and small victories, both with my students and with my staff. What are we doing with the youth? We're going to Costa Rica. Why are we going? To extend God's love, His goodness, story of Jesus to those in need. People want to know their purpose. Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren has sold over, I think, 80 million copies. I read this back in college when I was trying to figure out what God had for my life. And I remember really enjoying it's a 40-day process, but I only really remember the first sentence. If you've read it, I'm sure you remember it too. It's not about you, is the first sentence. The first sentence in the book about purpose, about your purpose, is it's not about you. Sometimes we just need to get over ourselves and ask God what He wants us to do. This isn't a vocational calling. Your purpose in life isn't vocational. It's not about jobs, for those that don't know what vocational is. Not, I think everyone in here did, but He may be calling you to something. He may be calling you to stick out a job you don't like, to develop muscles in you that weren't there before. He may be asking you to be vulnerable, because the stuff you're holding on to is actually holding you down. He may be asking you to forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Why would He be asking you these things? Because He wants more of you, and He wants more for you. Your purpose, really, when it's all said and done, is really simple: to be in a relationship with Jesus and extend His kingdom wherever you might be. So lastly, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. So Elijah clearly lived a life in the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't even die. And you guys got to read this. He didn't die. In 2 Kings, it says he was called up to heaven in a whirlwind. And he's talking to Elisha at the time, which I remember growing up as a kid, I was like, that's confusing, Elijah and Elisha. But he's talking to him about when he's going to leave, and Elisha doesn't want him to go because he loves him so much. Elijah's legacy on Elisha changed many cities, and their ministry together was powerful. But they're walking and talking about when God's going to take him to heaven, and two chariots come down and a whirlwind, and he goes up to heaven. When you learn to live in the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, we can walk in confidence, knowing that we can fight anything that comes our way. We have weapons. We have weapons to be victorious. We were singing about it this morning. With the Holy Spirit, we will see miracles. We can see a widow's son raised from the dead. We can see a little oil and flour feed for days. We can see ravens bring us meat morning and night. With the Holy Spirit, we can call fire from heaven. We can see fear turned into a calling. We can hear a still small voice to guide us above earthquakes and fires. With the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, lives can be changed. Marriages restored. Homes redeemed. Families healed. Neighborhoods changed and cities transformed.